Development by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
The apostle says, I was with you in weakness. He's reminding them of how he came to them individually. Corinth, as we've said before, was a world hub of activity economically. People came from all over the world. People bought and sold there. They got stuff there. They had philosophies because of that from all over the world. People believed anything and everything. Paul preached in a lot of different places like that. Remember Mars Hill, where he preached? When Paul preached about Christ and the resurrection, by the way, they wanted to hear more. The philosophers wanted to hear more about this new philosophy, this new religion. Something they hadn't even imagined. That God would die? They thought, God can't die. God always is. God always has been. Those were their ideas. To the modern man of that day, this was foolishness. Foolishness. God can't die. But Paul said, he can. He did. But he rose from the dead. The old black preacher preached one time, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And it's kind of like that for us, isn't it? Today we're living, remembering what happened to Christ. What they did with Christ. A couple Sundays from now, we will be thinking about what happened when Jesus came into Jerusalem. Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday. Wow. What an exciting time. Here's the one who can heal the sick. He can raise the dead. He can calm the storms. The greatest of storms. You know, that little lake up there in Galilee, northern Israel, sometimes was calm. Sometimes there was fire. Could you imagine the little ships that, well, they weren't ships, they were just little boats. Little boats. I remember when Seth and I and Jared all, we hired a, well, in fact, we purchased a fishing trip on Texarkana. And we got down in there with a good guide, and he had his fish finder, and we were looking for fish. And pretty soon we looked around, and the storms are coming up. Lightning began to flash, and he made out for the nearest place, and that was over on the Texas side, wasn't it? Yeah, we're on the Texas side. So we left Oklahoma and got over on the Texas side, got into a cove back in there, and waited the storm out, got off the lake. He said, I get off the lake anymore because one time I came down here and I stayed out in the storm and we got struck by lightning. That's not fun. Fortunately, he was not a casualty. And we caught some stripers. Wasn't it stripers we were fishing for? And his fish finder said, so deep. And he said, here's how we count the lengths. And you go down so many lengths. And He would bait them hooks for us. That's good. I just rather he bait the hooks for us. A lot of fun. And we actually caught some fish and brought it home. And of course, they always tell you about the big ones that somebody else caught. But the important part is we were together, we were having fun, it was a great day. And I still want to go back fishing somewhere, sometime. But I seem to have no time in any period of that time when you go fishing. Let's see. When it was that time? About in May? Was it? Somewhere in there, I think, when them stripers start running and you can catch stripers. You know, sometimes you get a big one. And sometimes you get a real one. It's fun to catch fish. I wish I had them guys up here. Because I've been with them before on a trip down to the state fishing lake at Pratt. And I agreed to help bait hooks. And it's more fun to watch them catch fish than it is to fish yourself. Because you see some kids there that probably have never been fishing over, probably not that many times in their life. And it's wonderful to know that you don't have to be good at everything. Sometimes when you're a pastor in a small church, you think you've got to do everything. No, you don't. You don't. All you got to do is be what God called you to do. And you know what? When you get in the right place, God calls other people. God uses other people. And they get the work done. One thing I did learn in the first church that I was in, I said, I promised myself I'm not going to do everything. Because when you do everything, nobody does anything. And everybody needs a job to do. Everybody needs a job or jobs to do. Now, you got enough jobs, Gary?
Yeah.
I worry about Gary because Gary takes on more than he should. He really does. Gary is faithful, just like the rest of you, but Gary, like me, can take on more than he should. Right, Gary? No, I don't take on more than I should. Do what? He said, no, I don't do more than I should. Well, maybe I should do more. No. I shouldn't do more. I should probably do less.
Less is more.
Less many times is more. Because you concentrate on a few things and you do a few things well. And here's the deal. At Wellsville, we mowed the lawn. We cleaned the church. I can't remember all the jobs we do. Seth, do you remember? And of course, I can remember some awesome times. But I felt like there wasn't enough time. And I'm beginning to feel like there's not enough time. Because I know my time is getting short. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. In the best of things, if I live to be 95, I only got 20 more years. What's 20 years? I remember how fast that can go. How fast. I talked to a man about a tractor, and he said, and somehow, religion and those thoughts came up, and He said, what is your persuasion? He said, I'm a Baptist pastor. I said, oh, he says, Mike, one of my daughters is a good Baptist. I wondered what a good Baptist is. I wondered. But she does all kinds of things. I wonder what I do for Jesus. I wonder. Do I do enough or do I do too little? How much time do I allot to the Lord? Sometimes I'm just busy being busy. And that's the way we are in our world, isn't it? Kind of busy being busy. Paul said, you know, when you're busy about stuff and you really tune in to what's really important, you'll realize that you can't. And when you realize you can't, you begin to trust God to do what you can't. I can't always say the right things. I don't always do the right things. But if I let God be in control and I yield the reins to Him of my life, I'll be where I need to be when I need to be. So will you. If I just simply yield to Christ, yield to the direction the Holy Spirit is guiding me, teaching me, showing me. And so I say, Lord, teach me to listen. Teach me to hear. And then teach me to do. To be that instrument you can work through. Because God can work through any of us that are willing to be a vessel for Him. And that's what God did with Paul. He said, I came in my weakness. Weakness. Now, I'm suspecting, of course, Paul knew all the doctrines. He knew all the truths. I know that because he wrote them down for God, with God's help. But you know what? If we don't do it with God's help, we're not going to get anywhere. It takes God in the mix. Amen?
Amen.
Paul wasn't an eloquent speaker. I don't believe. But Paul had the truths in here. He had the love of Christ in here. And God gave him the very words he needed to share those truths. And I'm saying all that to say this. I can't unless I let God work through me. I can't. But when I become weak, He becomes strong. He becomes strong. Because I'm yielding to Him on a daily basis. And sometimes giving up control is the hardest part.
True.
Because I don't know where it's going. But I do know who's in charge. And since I know who's in charge, I know that the results will be right in the end because God's in charge. And it needs to be in that way in all of our lives. We need to put God on the throne of our lives, on our hearts, and become the king of our lives. Paul said further, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words, verse 4, of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the one that takes the Word of God to the heart of people. And you never know what the Spirit's going to use in people. He can make something good out of something wrong the preacher said. That's what he can do. For example, when the Lord called me to preach, Phil Gagnon, missionary to Honduras, said this. Caught my attention. The farmer takes his tractor out in the field to harvest the wheat. I said, oh, really? Not unless he's an Amish. You know? So I thought, yeah, he takes his pull combine with his tractor out in the field to cut wheat. But that little phrase, he takes the tractor out in the field. He said, no, he takes a combine. 95% of those harvesting wheat's going to have a combine. It has the motor on it. It doesn't need to be pulled by another vehicle that has the power. You see, those little pull combines have a power takeoff. They call it on the back of the tractor. And it would power that combine. They don't have that anymore. They have the power on the combine. 600 plus horsepower if you get a big enough one. And if you run a track like Mr. Higbee, I don't have problems. I said that a couple of weeks ago, didn't I? I don't have problem with the wet fields. I've got a track. I've got a track. A John Deere track. Today, if you want to try to buy one, it'd probably cost you $1 million. Right? With all the headers and all that. That's why they can't make any money farming. If you've got $1 million combine, how many acres is it going to take to pay for that thing? Take a lot of acres, right? Can you afford one?
I can.
You can. There's some guys that can if they've already made the money. But if you're getting into the farming, you're going to have a terrible time making a go of it. If you think you got to have a track, like Mr. Higbee. Or like several other ministers I can talk about. Okay? In our community, some of them don't even have track. Or tracks. You know, it's like rubber caterpillar tracks under your combine. They float better. They will go over wetter ground. They won't make such holes and messes out there. I guarantee if you go in with a big dueler, that's two wheels side by side, you'll have hope. I couldn't walk across it with two strides. You'll have holes down through there, that deep, right? And I guarantee you, you're not going to raise much wheat in there unless you work your head off, right? It kills the ground doing that. Not that it kills it, but I mean, how are you going to work with that? You want to go across that thing? No, they usually have to get out there after it dries out in August and work them in. Wow! Somehow I get on farming because I guess I did that a little while. Right? And I know just enough to be dangerous still. But I know this. If you try to farm with tracks, you better have the money already because you're not going to make money farming with your track if you figure the cost of that thing in to your production. You're going to lose money. And we're going to have, I guarantee you, we're going to have young farmers go broke in the next couple of years as things stay bad like they are right now. I'm here to testify. Young farmers will go broke if they think they got to have all the latest equipment. You don't, but it's hard to get ground if your landlord comes out and says, what do your equipment look like? Are you up to date in everything? This stuff's 25 or 30 years old. It's wore out. Right? Isn't that how they look at you? I'm awful lenient with my tenants. But I've got some concerns. The concerns are chemicals, because that'll kill us quicker than anything. Something that will give us life is right here. Right here. The book of God is true and right. And when the Spirit speaks, He speaks truth. He wants people to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person cannot come to Christ without the Spirit speaking to their heart. They cannot know the direction they need to take in their life after salvation unless they listen to the Spirit of God. And He will point them and direct them in the right way. I came to Edwards Cannon. I expected to have some farmers in my congregation, at least some that maybe knew about farming. I've got more non-farmers than I have farmers. I've got people that's been in it. And I probably only got, what, one? Are you the lone one back there, Mr. Wolf?
Jesse's farming.
Jesse's farming?
Jimmy.
Not his own, no, right? No. You're probably the lone, right?
Lone.
I am the farmer. I am the farmer, owner, operator. Right? Lone wolf, yeah. And sometimes you feel like that out there, don't you? You feel like, I'm the last guy. I can't afford the latest equipment, but I'm going to do the best I can with what I've got. So God help us. We need those guys out there. Otherwise, we don't eat. People in town, they think, all I've got to do is go to the grocery store and get my food. It's a little more complex than that. A little more complex. And you know what? It's a little more complex than that with spiritual things, too. You know? I can't just go to any old church and hear the truth. The truth is, we need to go where Jesus is preached. He is the answer. He's our help. And by the way, in His absence here, He sent the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of us, to help us to walk in the right way in His absence. Oh, He's in heaven. He's there to intercede for us. Right? And that's all important. But I know I need somebody walking with me, inside of me, showing me the way, opening my eyes to truths, so that I can do what I need to do today. And I know this. It is so bad in the Middle East, Jesus could come at any moment. There's nothing that hinders Him from coming. He can come. Will He come today? I don't know. But He's coming again someday. Someday. And I just put it that way. Because things are all set up. Things are all set up. Most of the people in the world don't like Israel. But I guarantee you, listen to me on this deal right here. Love Israel in spite of Israel, because God loves them.
Yes, sir.
And God is going to graft them back in again. Read the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. He's going to graft them back in again. He's cut them off for a short time, which is the time of the Gentiles, is what we're living in right now. Mm-hmm. But one day, the Lord's going to graft them back in again, and they'll come to the Lord in masses. By the way, the Lord is going to give them the land He promised Abraham and his descendants. Mm-hmm. He's going to give it to them. By the way, that's some of the land we're fighting about right now. Amen? Mm-hmm. Be ready. For in such a time as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Mm-hmm. Be ready. Because it could be today. We don't know. We just need to be ready when Jesus comes. That's what it's all about. The Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to the truth. He'll help us to understand His truth. It's spiritually discerned. That's why you need the Spirit. He is our guide, our help, our keeper. He assures us of victory because God's seal is on us. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for you all. May God bless you and keep you and use you for His glory. Amen? And I pray you get to run a track someday before it's 30 years old. Because you probably couldn't earn enough in that week it takes to cut that week. If you bought one of those, you'd have to have a 45-foot header, flex header, so you could cut, or 50-foot. I think that's the biggest one I've seen so far. 50-foot, they got bigger than that flex headers anymore. They've got enough capacity to run 100 bushel wheat and 50-foot wide. But the problem is, you know, they've got two flexes, and so it can run down through the field like that. Have you run one of them big ones that flexes like that? Mm-hmm. Two flexes? Yeah. Isn't that different? I remember cutting with 30-foot header and cutting terraces, and you come up there and the header is cutting nothing but air.
Yeah.
This isn't good. I told them way back then in the early 70s, I said, you need to make flex headers. You need to make flex headers so that you can use the capacity of this machine. Now, they're working on it. They're getting there. The only problem is the $1 million it takes to buy one.
You should have been.
And if they charged you enough for the wheat that they grow from it, you'd be it'd probably be $20 of 5 pounds of flour. What does a bushel of wheat make? How many 5 pound sacks will make? 60 pounds of wheat. How much flour is that gonna make?
I should know that, but I don't remember.
Okay. I'll let you get by with that today. But you know what? God's going to take care of us anyway. He promises. Follow Him. Keep true to Him. Follow His Spirit. Listen to what He says and do what He says. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. That's what God wants us to be. Today, we need doers. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the faithfulness of these people. God, go with us and give us grace and understanding and the ability to do what we need to do. And trust Your Spirit to make up the difference. Because we know He will take the Word when we use the Word, apply it to people's hearts and lives, and people be saved and Your kingdom will grow. Help us, Lord, to be faithful on our part of yielding to you every day. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.